A man asks his wife, he said, what was she like for her birthday? And his wife replied, she said, you know what? I would love just to be 8 again. So on the morning of her birthday, he woke up and he made his wife a big bowl of Cocoa Pops. And he took her off to the local theme park. And he took her on almost all of the rides there. And after this, they drove off to a McDonald's where her loving husband, he ordered strawberry milkshake and fries. And then it was off to the movies to watch the latest film. And obviously this was, of course, with popcorn and ice cream. And when they finally came home, he lovingly asked his wife and he said, well, dear, what was it like to be 8 again? And his wife turned around and she said to him, when I said I wanted to be 8 again, she said I meant I wanted to be a dress size 8. You see, even when a man is listening, he's still going to get it wrong. And mistakes are, of course, mistakes are a part of life. And it's not only men who make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Every single one of us. Every single day. Because we're all sinners. But unlike us all who make mistakes daily, Jesus never made any mistakes. Jesus was sinless. He was without sin. Yet he was accused of making a mistake, as we read in today's passage, which came upon the screen. Jesus was accused by Simon the Pharisee of keeping the wrong company. Keeping the wrong company. George Washington, for those who don't know, George Washington was America's first president. And he once said this. He said, associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation. And famous Spanish writer, his name was Miguel, he had a famous saying, which was, tell me what company you are, and I will tell you what you are. Brother and sister, this is how the world thinks. But this was not how Jesus thought. And we see this in this passage. So what we'll do is, well, firstly, we'll look at the setting of this passage. And we'll then look at the woman's response to Jesus. And then Jesus' response to Simon the Pharisee. And then we'll end on what we can learn from this and what it means to us today and how we can apply this message to our lives. So firstly, let's look at the setting of this passage. In verse 36, we read that one of the Pharisees, now the name of this Pharisee in this passage, it was Simon the Pharisee, he asked Jesus to eat with him. And so Jesus went to the Pharisee's house and Jesus sat down to eat. Now, I'm sure most of us have invited someone over for dinner at some point. But have you ever invited someone very well known? If you haven't, I just want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine yourselves having someone very well known at your house for dinner. Imagine the Queen. Imagine the Queen coming into your home to have dinner. And the Queen sitting down and having a cup of tea and food that you have lovingly prepared. Would you make her eat out of plastic plates? Would you make the Queen drink out of your own mugs of tea? what would you wear? Would you wear your t-shirt or your pajamas? Or would you wear your best shirt or your best outfit? You would make sure that the queen eats out of really nice plates. And I'm sure that you'll bring out really nice tea sets, especially for her. And you would definitely be dressed very smartly for her arrival. So you would be prepared in the best way possible, making a lot of effort, making sure everything is clean and tidy and presentable as well. What are some of the things that you might say and do? You might say, "Come on in. How wonderful to see you. How are you doing? Can I take your coat? Would you like a drink? Here, let me get this for you." You see, there are ways and there's means that we make people feel comfortable and welcome in our home. And seeing as it's the Queen, I'm sure none of us would fail to do that. I'm sure we would be going above and beyond. And hospitality, it was a big thing. And even in Jesus' day, hospitality was a big thing. And there were ways of making your guests feel welcome. There were things you did in particularly through your actions to make them feel comfortable and welcomed into your home. For example, one of them was that when a guest arrived, their sandals were removed and their feet were washed. And obviously, given the time of this, there wasn't the luxury of the cars and the trains and the transport that we have these days. So travel was mainly on foot, so the feet would get really dirty. And in addition to this, scented olive oil was often it was offered to anoint a guest's hair, and the guests would be kissed as they were greeted. So these are some of the examples of the customs that were practiced. Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to dinner. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet, he offers Jesus no courtesies, not even one. I mentioned the Queen, but this is someone who's the most important ever, who cannot be compared to nobody. This is Jesus Christ. And it's dishonoring to Jesus. It appears that the Pharisee only invited Jesus to test him, to question him, to observe him, to try to find out more about him, and as they say, give him the once over. As he doesn't treat Jesus with respect. In verse 37, we see that to the room comes a woman in the city who was a sinner. This woman was someone who has not been invited. A woman who had heard and she had become aware that Jesus was going to be at the Pharisee's house. And it was in her heart to meet him, even if that meant going into the house of a Pharisee to see him. This woman was determined to see him. This woman was prepared to see him. And she doesn't have an invitation card in her hand. She just turns up, unexpected and uninvited. Let me ask you today, have you ever been someplace where you just didn't fit in? Me and my wife, Jas, we went to this place once. This was an afternoon tea place in Yorkshire. We enjoy going for afternoon tea places. We go quite often. And I remember this particular place that we went to, as soon as we walked in, everyone there, they were very smartly dressed, you know, suited and booted, and, you know, they were wearing dresses, and they were all very, very smartly dressed. And I turned up here in my usual casual jeans and my black t-shirt, because normally when we've been for afternoon tea, the dress codes, it's been casual. But I didn't know in this place that it wasn't the case. Everyone was smartly dressed. And as you may or may not know, I love wearing a black t-shirt. especially in the summer, you know, I love wearing my black t-shirt. And when I walked inside here, I just felt like I didn't belong here. This wasn't my setting, and I didn't really feel comfortable either. I just didn't fit in. This is how it was for this woman. She didn't naturally fit into that particular environment, you know, outwardly looking, and according to Simon the Pharisee. And she got stared because of it. But this didn't matter to her. This was the least of her concerns. Fitting in was not this woman's aim. This woman, she came for a greater purpose, and she came in humility and with a humbled heart. We don't know her name. We have very few details about her. But what the Bible says about her is that she was a sinner. It doesn't tell us what sin she is guilty of, although most likely she would have been involved, she would have been a prostitute. So how did this woman respond to Jesus? How did she respond to Jesus? Bearing in mind she just turns up unexpected, uninvited. We see this in verse 38. Verse 38 tells us she is overcome with emotion, and she stood at Jesus' feet behind him, weeping. She is a sinner, and he is without sin. Look at the contrast. What's striking is that not a word is spoken, not a single word from her in all of this. Her actions spoke louder. She had tears of sorrow because she was repentant, and because she knew that Jesus was the only one who could forgive her of her sins. She realized she was a sinner, and she knew Jesus is the only person who could forgive her. And she began to think of all her sins, and it pierced her heart. Brother and sister, are we filled with emotion in our hearts when we think of our sins? Are we repentant of our sins, of the sins, of the mistakes that we constantly make? Do we feel that strong conviction in our hearts when we think of all the mistakes that we have made before our Lord and all that he has done for us? And do we cry out to the Lord in prayer, asking him to forgive us of our sins? Look at this woman. She has no water to wash Jesus' feet, yet she wets them with her tears. She has no towel to dry his feet, so she does something unimaginable in her culture of day. She lets down her hair and she wipes Jesus' feet with it. The only towel she had, her hair. And she kisses his feet. And she puts fragrant oil on them. Fragrant oil in an alabaster box. This wasn't just any oil. This was a very, very expensive and a very precious gift. It would have cost about a year's worth of wages. So a year's worth of her average annual income. The woman in this passage bought her most precious and expensive possession, and she anointed Jesus with it. And she is so taken up with her devotion and her love for Jesus that she doesn't care about the stares that she and the looks that she's receiving from Simon the Pharisee and some of his friends. She does what she can and she uses what she has. What made this woman wet the feet of Jesus with her tears? What made her wipe Jesus' feet with her hair and to kiss his feet and anoint them? What was it? It was her sinfulness. She was already tired of living her life in sin. And that's why when she learned that Jesus was in Simon the Pharisee's house, she did everything to get near him so that she could humbly honor him with whatever humble gesture that she could offer Jesus. The repentant woman went to Jesus, but she didn't verbally ask Jesus for forgiveness. But it was very clear through her actions that she wanted to be forgiven of her sinfulness. She wanted a renewal on her life, which no one could give her except Jesus. And by her actions, Jesus recognized her desire for forgiveness. Never did she think when she approached Jesus that Jesus would condemn and judge her. She just simply focused on her need to be forgiven. This is Jesus for all of us. God who will never condemn our sinfulness. God who will never just judge us based on the sins that we have committed in the past. The humble gesture of the woman was her way of asking for forgiveness of her past sins. She spoke to Jesus through her heart and through her acts of humility. So how does Simon the Pharisee respond to this? How does he respond? Well, Simon was not impressed. And we see this in verse 39 where it tells us, he's thinking, if Jesus was really a prophet, then surely he would know who this woman is. He would know what kind of woman she is, and he surely would not allow her to touch him. Simon looked at this so differently. Simon the Pharisee, he passed judgment on her, but Jesus never did. Simon saw the woman as worthless and as a lowlife in society, and his opinion of Jesus suddenly dropped when he saw this. And we see how quickly Simon was ready to judge. In effect, Simon was placing himself above the woman as though he was not a sinner. Let me ask you, do you pass judgment on others? Have you ever passed judgment on others? Do you see yourself as more holy than your brother or your sister or your neighbor? For those who don't know, I was born and I grew up in Handsworth, and I remember an occasion, this was before I was a believer, where one of my mates said to me that he said he wanted to go to the gym with me to do some weightlifting, because I used to go to the gym quite regularly. So one day we both went to this gym in Handsworth, and we walked in. Now, I was very used to this gym because I'd been here plenty of times and I knew most of the people here too. But for my mate, this was the first time he was coming. And as we walked in, there was a bench press machine, and sitting on the machine, there was a man who I had never seen before. And this man was very big, very muscly man, and he was lifting quite a lot of weight. And he had a scary look to him. And I remember my mate, he said that he's seen this man. He said, I saw him a couple of years ago. He said, I've seen him on the internet through social media. He said, this man has been in music videos, and he's been surrounded by people rapping and posing with guns and drugs. And my mate told me, he said, that the people that this guy knows, they're very, very dangerous people. And they've built up a reputation, a bad reputation in the area. Now, many of the guys who used to come to the gym, especially in Handsworth, especially to the disc gym, they were similar to this, like this man. They were known for their sins in the area, and some of them were very dangerous. So this wasn't uncommon. And as we were training, we got into conversation with this man, as we took turns from him using the machine. And I asked him, I said, you know, look, how long he'd been training and things like that. And as we got more into conversation, to both of our surprise, we discovered something we both were so shocked about. I was really shocked. This man told us that he had become a Christian recently, and he told us that he had recently come to know the Lord and had repented of his sins. And he shared his testimony with me, and this not only shocked my friend who was here, it shocked me also. And I told him, you know, that I also attended church, and he told me to read the New Testament, and he even invited me to his church. But what an eye-opener this was. We looked at this man and we judged him. But little did we know that the Lord had worked in his heart. And just as me and my friend, we judge this man based on the way he looks, based on who he is, based on what he's done in the past through his actions, in the same way, Simon the Pharisee did this also to this woman. Brother and sister, how many of us have done this before? Where we've looked at someone and we've automatically assumed that they are this particular person based on how they look. Maybe you've seen someone you used to go to school with a long time ago, someone who was really bad to you, and you've seen them recently, I don't know, walking across the street, and you still got it in your head that they are the same person as they used to be. How many of us have judged people based on their past? When you see the news and you hear about a person who's committed a terrible crime, do you almost hope that they never have a chance to be forgiven because they really deserve to suffer eternal punishment? We human beings, we have such a different way of looking at each other than God does. I think that there is a little of the attitude of Simon the Pharisee displayed in all of us, if we are honest. So how does Jesus respond to Simon? How does he respond? Jesus knew Simon's heart. He knew it. And in verses 40 to 42, Jesus told Simon the Pharisee a simple parable about forgiveness, which I'll just read. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" So in this parable, there are three main characters in this parable of the two debtors. There's the creditor, who represents Jesus Christ. There's the debtor, who owed 500 denarii. And there's another debtor, who owed 50 denarii. So the debtor who owed 500 denarii represents the woman, and the other debtor who owed 50 denarii represents Simon the Pharisee. A denarii was about a day's wage, so one person owed 50 days of wages, and the other owed 500 days of wages. And in this parable, they both had debts. One had less, one had more, but the creditor forgave them both. And Jesus asked Simon which of the debtors he thought would show more love towards their creditor. And when Jesus asked Simon this, that who will love him more for forgiving their debts, Simon answers this in verse 43. Simon says, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." And Jesus tells Simon that he judges rightly when he says that that person who is forgiven more will love more. And as I said earlier, Simon didn't offer even the bare minimum traditional courtesies to Jesus. By contrast, the woman who had been forgiven, she went way beyond the common courtesies. And in humility, she gratefully and she sincerely honored Jesus. Simon showed little love, but this woman showed much love. The parable, it tells us how we all can be forgiven, regardless of the amount of sin or if the debt is small or big. And in verse 44, Jesus, he turns to the woman, but he speaks to Simon. And he says, "Simon, do you see this woman? Have you genuinely, really deep down, looked past the surface and saw her?" Jesus was the invited guest. There were customs to be followed. And Jesus points these out. He says, "Simon, I entered your house, but you gave me no water for my feet. But she did. She washed them with her tears, which was tears of repentance. And she dried my feet with her hair." And in verse 45, he tells Simon, "You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not stopped kissing my feet since I've come in." In verse 46, Jesus says, "Simon, you didn't anoint my head with oil, but this woman did." Notice the repetition on emphasis on the word "you" and "this" here. Jesus is speaking directly to Simon the Pharisee. The sinful woman washed Jesus' feet and she dried them with her hair. She repeatedly kissed his feet. Simon's lack of love and respect, it just showed how little he thought he needed Jesus' grace and forgiveness. While the woman's response, it demonstrated her understanding of her deep need. And because of that, Jesus says in verse 47, "Her many sins have been forgiven." And he says this to the woman in verse 48, "Your sins have been forgiven." Jesus wanted Simon to realize that her loving and her faithful attitude is what is required for forgiveness. Simon saw nothing but the woman's past reputation. But Jesus, he delicately and he graciously exposes Simon's hatred and poor judgment. Yes, her past may have been full of sin, but because of her repentant attitude, display of love and faith in him, Jesus saw a desire in her to change from her own ways, old ways, and live life in God's way. Jesus associates himself with sinners. The Pharisees distanced themselves from sinners. The Pharisees were concerned about themselves and only about how they appeared outwardly. And Jesus is condemning hostility towards the sinners. The proper response to forgiveness is not pride, but humility. The proper response to known sinners is not judgment, but it's love. Love just as Jesus had shown to this woman. Remember, as Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And in verse 48, when Jesus said, "Your sins have been forgiven," they shocked everybody in the room. Because Jesus, he spoke with authority. He spoke with boldness. And the Pharisees were thinking, Surely, only God can forgive sins. Jesus told the woman that she was forgiven, forgiven of her many sins. Earlier, Simon was wondering whether Jesus was a prophet. Jesus showed he is more than a prophet, for no prophet had ever forgiven someone of their sins. And when Jesus told the woman that her sins were forgiven, that should have been such a revelation to Simon. How was this woman saved? It was by faith. Jesus said in verse 50, "Your faith has saved you." We are saved by faith. This woman approached Jesus in the fullness of her disgrace, and she walked away in the fullness of Jesus' grace. This woman was not saved because of her actions or by the expensive oil or by her works, but she was saved by her faith. This woman's faith saved her. And she believed in Jesus for eternal life, and he gave it to her. Let me ask you this morning, are you more like the self-righteous Pharisee Simon, who doesn't understand and who does not see the sinfulness of his heart? Or are you like this woman, this sinful woman who is fully aware of her sins and her unworthiness and her need for the Lord? This woman found her rest that day. The question is, have you found your rest in Jesus? Have you received that peace in your heart that can only be found through Jesus? Have you become before the Lord to ask him to forgive you of your sins? Don't be like Simon. Don't look down on people. Recognize instead that, like the woman, you are a big debtor. So what can we learn from this? And how can we apply this passage and message today to our lives? It's three main things I would just like to point out. Number one, we are all in debt to God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells us that we have all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Yes, we all deserve to die and to be separated from God because of our sins, but God's gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ. What Simon forgot was that he was a sinner. He didn't recognize them as sins, so it was easy for him to forget that he needed forgiveness. Isn't it easy for us to forget how we are in debt to God? Isn't it easy for us to come to church, to open our Bibles, and forget the blood that was shed for us? What a great debt we owe to our God. God who has forgiven us and redeemed us. Number two, no sin is too great to be forgiven. Your sins is not beyond the capacity of God's forgiveness, no matter how great. Your sins can be forgiven if you truly repent and truly ask in repentance for forgiveness of your sins and believe that Jesus Christ died for you. And thirdly, there is good news for all of us, that debt has been paid for us. When God said, "I forgive you of your sin," it cost God something. Before forgiveness, the price had to be paid. There had to be the agony of the cross. But that's been paid, and forgiveness, it's available to us all. He offers it to every single one of us. The question is, will you trust him with your life? Will you truly give yourself to him as he has given himself for you. Brother and sister, for those who may or may not know, I became saved around the age of 18, and at my baptism, which was in 2018, I shared my testimony, where I shared how I was before I came to know the Lord. And I shared how I lived a very sinful and a hidden life. And if I could tell you the life I was living before I was a believer, you would be so shocked, so shocked. But God worked in my heart. I came to the Lord in forgiveness and repentance, and God forgave me of my sins. Christ transforms lives, and just as he worked in my heart, he can work in your heart today if you come to him, if you come to him and asking for his forgiveness, asking him for forgiveness of your sins. And so I urge you this morning, I urge you, if you haven't already done so, to take that action, to make that decision to turn away from your sins in your life and to commit yourself to God, to commit yourself completely and demonstrate, as this woman in our story today, genuine repentance. The price has been paid for your sins, and Jesus Christ invites you to come to him. Christ invites you into his home today, into his kingdom. Come home to the forgiving Savior. Amen.